Hey Sean, episode number 21 today, and we're going to take a listener kind of question or a member question today and attack it head on. How you feeling about it today?
Pretty good. Also, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. So by the time this airs, hopefully we're all rejoicing and celebrating.
Oh yeah,
Otherwise, oh
see how it
well.
goes. See how it goes today. So we're gonna talk about, like I said, member question. The question was put out there, basically this way. They were like, "Why should I do handstand push-ups or really any CrossFit movement that's kind of particular to CrossFit in that matter, if all I want to do is look good naked?" So didn't really, that movement maybe didn't pertain to this person's goals, and she was like, "What's the point?" Basically, that was it. I mean, is there any other way you want to frame it?
No, I think that's the best way we can frame it without getting too off track or too soon. But yeah, it was just a kind of a question that was posed coming out of a class. Where we were doing muscle ups and wall walks and box jump overs, and this person was just like, "That was fun, but like, what, how does that affect me and like the functionality of it in the real world? And if my goals don't align with what that workout was?" So yeah, it was a good conversation to have at 7 a.m. in the morning or 8 a.m.
Yeah, it made me perk up a little bit, and I was like, "Ooh, this is a good topic for a podcast." And here we are.
Well, and
And
I don't think she's alone in, asking questions of why we do certain things or what, like, how is this helping me get to somewhere that I want to be? Or like, what if this has no bearing on anything? Like, I don't care about being able to do a handstand push-up at any given point in my life. Like, I think there's a lot of people that come to the gym that have those questions that just don't ask them a lot. And I think this is a good topic to cover today. It was a good question, like I said, to kind of even think about, because again, it was like earlier this week, and we're still talking about it, Mike, right?
yeah, I think maybe we'll take like a big picture view and kind of zoom in on it over the talk here. It makes me think, like, big picture. She was kind of insinuating like there is these movements that we do at CrossFit that are kind of CrossFit specific in a lot of ways. Things like handstand push-ups is the one that I think she mentioned. Things like double unders. Maybe even you can lump in some higher level gymnastics things in there, like muscle ups and things like that. Yeah, so let's get into, like, why we do some of those things.
Well, I think right off the bat is, with CrossFit's mentality of the whole thing, like if we take a step back and we talk about like our level ones, it's like they always have the example of like the specifics, right? It's like you have the strong man on one side, who's this giant hulking guy who could lift a house over his head, and on the other side you have like a marathon runner. And those are such specifics where it's like the marathon runner can run forever, but he can't lift 5 pounds over his head. And the strong man can lift 1,000 pounds over his head, but he couldn't run to the end of his driveway and back if he wanted to. And it was like, what is the purpose of CrossFit is kind of finding that middle ground and being good at both things, but not excelling at any one particular thing. It's just having a very good base of everything. So it's like being good at everything, not great at one thing.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's always been CrossFit's goal, is to like to be kind of like in the middle of the road on all things. And what we see in the real world is that some people get really good at a lot of things. I mean, at least subjectively, like you work on all these things, and like, yeah, you're not going to be the specialist, but you end up being pretty darn fast, pretty darn strong. And then suddenly, like, compared to the middle and the average, you might even be like on the higher end, like we, of some of those things, but you're not, giving up anything to get too strong, or the other way around, giving up too much to get too fast. You're just like sitting in that sweet spot.
Right. And I think it's always a good thing to remember too, is like, so part of this original question too is like, how does it pertain to like my everyday living and like my ability to do that? And I think that that's a good thing to always kind of come back to. Whereas like, if we look at those two specialists, right? So the runner and the strongman, it's like, if we look at those objectively, like you just said, there are so many deficiencies in both of their thing, whereas neither one of those are very functional towards your everyday life. Like, cool, I can back squat 1,000 pounds, and how does that help me, right? Or all right, I can go run 10 miles without getting my heart rate up over 120 beats per minute. Like, how does that help me? Where I think like with CrossFit, you live like the whole point of it is like constantly varied, high function, functional exercises. I think the point of it is like they have a much more functional view and how it correlates to your everyday life. And I think that's a really big thing to always remember is like, yes, if you look at some of this, the minute things, or maybe it's like the 1% of movements as far as like a muscle up, like how is that ever going to help me or whatever? Well, Katie was talking about before we jumped on is like, how close are we to that thing, right? All these things. And yes, there is like, if you look at it like that, there's an easy way to be like, that will never help me in my real life. And maybe you're right. But at the same time, if you look at the bulk of CrossFit movements that we do, squatting below parallel, hinging at the hips, pressing something over our head, right? Things like that is going to be done every day of your life. And it's what we do with those movements is only helping and being more functional in our everyday life with that stuff. So I think that's a really, it's a hard thing to do for people to, separate those things of like the specifics of a handstand pushup. Like, I'm never going to be upside down pressing my head. Of course not. Hopefully not anyway. Yeah. But like, if I'm like, what's a wall ball have to do with anything? You can draw 1,000 parallels to that thing of like how you're going to be in throughout the day. And go from there. So it's, I think it's important to kind of for people to take a step back sometimes and look at the majority outside of the minority of the movements that we do.
Yeah, I think the key thing that you said in there is like looking at where you're starting from. Somebody walks into the gym and they can't squat below parallel. That person, obviously would benefit a lot from squatting and gaining that range of motion and gaining that strength in that position. And then like what you're saying, as they get stronger and or even like better at some of these movements, I think there's almost like a diminishing return. That person who can get below parallel now has a vast improvement in their quality of life, arguably, versus the person who can load, 300 pounds on a back squat and squat that. That maybe isn't helping you as much as it did just to be able to get to that position and load it at all,
And in the original question with this person, there was a few of us sitting there. And that exact point came up like, all right, cool. How, say I'm able to squat 300 pounds. Like what's the difference of that? Right. Like what do I gain out of doing that as opposed to just doing air squats? And it's progression, one thing, obviously, but it's also as I load the movement more. So we'll use the back squat as an example. It's an in tune or in turn making that movement easier at a sub-maximal load or even no loading at all, right? Like theoretically, if I can perform a perfect back squat or air squat with no load, and I start to add load to it and I get higher and higher in my load, now that unloaded back or air squat in the very beginning should become easier and my volume should increase with those, and in turn making life better because I'm not having to only worry about doing one squat. If my max is one air squat, right? that's great, but the goal is to also make even the unloaded movements easier for yourself, hence the reason for adding weight and progressing certain movements and trying to go from there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, relating to this person's question too, you know, wanting to squat heavy and get stronger, I think we kind of touched on it, but I think let's go a little bit deeper on it. Like, at some point, you're going to give up something to get stronger, right? In the example that you used in the beginning with a strongman person who can squat 1,000 pounds, at some point, you know, pursuing that 1,000-pound squat or whatever, you're going to give up on other things just because you probably don't have infinite amounts of time and energy to devote to training, to do all the things that you need to do. You're going to give up something, and it's probably going to be, you know, other movements, you know, whether it's pressing over your head or mobility or conditioning. And you're going to give up some of that stuff in order to pursue the thing, whatever that goal is. Right.
Yeah. Well, and let's go off of that, Mike, too, because that's a good example. When we start talking about those specifics, like, you've done this. So, yeah. Mike, how long did it take you to run 30 miles?
On the day?
Yeah.
I did 5 hours.
5 hours, right? And then if we look at, like, I used to compete in powerlifting, and my lifting sessions were 1.5 to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Do if our number one thing that we always talk about, and like back in one of our older podcasts, and people were like, I don't have enough time to do, like, to work out. Like, if that's their number one excuse for things, unless you have time, you're not doing either one of those specifics either. Right. Like, both of those things demand so much time and energy to perform.
All of my weekends were spent.
Yeah.
With hours of training. I look back now and I'm like, how the heck did I even make time for that? Right. I would literally run or bike or combination for hours every day, Saturday and Sunday.
Right. And, you know, again, if that truly is your goal, like, you better have that time to be able to do, or else it's, you know, you're not going to make the most of it. Whereas with CrossFit, it's like, we're able to get all of this stuff and see progress in certain things, not certain things, almost everything, in an hour. And most of the time, in less than an hour, right? I think that's, like, it really important for people to understand too. It is just the time factor of it is a big thing. It's a real thing too. Like, you know, when you look at Olympic athletes who are just training for one thing, they are training nonstop for that one thing, hours and hours and hours a day, like each day for that one thing. Whereas, like, if you want to compare yourself to that person, but you don't have that time, and, like, you have to go to work and do other things, like, is it a realistic thing for you to do? Probably not. If you're like, I have nothing, all I have is homework at the end of the day or whatever, like, I work from home and I have 10 plus hours a day, go nuts. It's like, again, being realistic with expectations here too, with this whole thing, I think is an important piece.
Yeah. You need to factor in that time required for whatever goal that you have. And just kind of circling back to what I mentioned before too, like, in my example where I was training to run 30 miles, guess what I was giving up? I was giving up my strength. Whenever you pursue something like that, like a relatively lofty specific goal like that, you're going to give up somewhere else. And I lost a good amount of strength during that time. So, you know, using the other side of the coin, if you're pursuing a strength related goal, you're probably going to have to give up a little bit of your conditioning and functionality in terms of mobility, maybe, you know, things like that potentially.
Oh yeah. When I was at my strongest, I couldn't run a mile if you had a gun to my head without stopping.
Yeah.
Now it's like at the point where I can go do that without even thinking about it. Right. Like, it's a real thing to think about. And again, using my example too, of, like, you know, being able to bench press 405 pounds, that provided me zero benefits in the real world. Like, outside of just achy joints and being overweight, it provided me no benefits at all.
Yeah.
It just looked cool to everybody else.
And I mean, granted, it has to be said, like running 30 miles, back squatting 300 pounds, or benching 400 pounds, like whatever your goals are, it's not diminishing that. Like, I think it's cool to have goals and it's cool to pursue something like that. But just, we just want to point out, like, recognize what you're giving up in the pursuit of it. And, you know, if we're looped into this conversation was the whole talk about functionality and like, what does this do for me in the real world? Keeping that as the frame of reference right now, like, you know, that you're going to give up something.
Mike, off of this topic too, I think we should really even go into it. Like, we've, again, had a recent podcast about goal setting and everything like that. It's still very important to have specific goals, right? Just making them realistic to your training style and all of that thing, or maybe your demands and how many times a week you're coming is really important. Like, so this 300 pound back squat, as we're talking, like if this person is at 280 pounds on their back squat right now, 300 pounds is a very attainable goal without really changing a whole lot.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a really important goal to have for that person, because again, it's not this crazy thing. To what you were saying earlier, maybe, and what Katie said hopping on, it was like, if your max back squat is 95 pounds and you're like, I want to be able to squat 400 pounds, that is a very different scenario than jumping 20 pounds.
Yep.
And the training definitely would need to change for those two different people, right? One doesn't have to change, but the other one drastically has to change if they want to hit those numbers.
Correct.
Yeah. And that goes for anything too, right? Like if you're like, I want to be able to do 50 strict handstand pushups unbroken and I can't do one yet, boy, you better start.
Start practicing. Yeah. I think, you know, let's like maybe talk a little bit about, so yeah, like having a goal, great, you know, working towards it, just recognizing what you give up in the pursuit of something that's like a lofty, you know, goal that's like, that's well beyond where you're at right now, like you mentioned. But let's dive into this a little bit. So like you mentioned it briefly there, but let's tease it out a little bit. So like, if you're going from the 280 to the 300 back squat, your training doesn't need to work, change a whole lot. Like, what are some things that people can do to think about, like, not revamping their entire program or thinking that they need to back squat like 5 days a week in order to hit that goal? If using that as the example, like, how can they get closer to that goal or think about their training?
Well, I think the one thing is, again, using your example of the back squat, right? If you look at our training for the week, and I think it's kind of important. We always talk about this of like trying to plan your attack as far as like what days you're coming. If you're on a limited membership or if you're coming every day, great. It's like understanding which days are going to be the most beneficial for me for that specific thing. Again, if I use myself as an example, and I've talked about this a lot on here, is like I hate handstand pushups, but I really try and come to every handstand pushup workout because I want to get better at them. Even though I know I'm not going to be able to do 50 at any given point, that's important to me, right? So it's these days that maybe there was heavy lunges or, you know, step ups or step overs, like those are going to translate to that back squat just as much as just a pure day of doing back squat. Like if I only ever come to that day or a deadlift, right? We're developing, you know, core strength and stability in those things to help with, you know, our other goal of being a back squat. And I think that's where CrossFit excels, is because when we circle all the way back around to like, why should I do a handstand pushup? Because the skills that you're learning in that, and awareness and, you know, lat strength and shoulder strength and all of these things, and positionally in my midsection, all can help you in other things. And it's just teaching you how to do it. Like the awareness in your midline for gymnastic stuff translates perfectly over to weightlifting, right? And then obviously weightlifting and being strong and stable in your core translates to everything else. Like, you can't go running without being like tight in your core, right? You're all wobbly. Like it all is this, it feeds into each other. And I think that's important for people to understand too, is like, know the skills that you're learning that day and working on and how it's going to translate back to what you want.
I think people underestimate the transference of certain exercises to their goals. Like, just because you're not back squatting doesn't mean that a weighted step up is not going to make you stronger. Maybe one leg's a little weaker than the other. Maybe it's gonna like push the needle forward more than you even think. And I think that's where CrossFit, you said, does really well. But I also think that's where people have a misunderstanding. And that, to be fair, it is pretty hard. Like, there's not a whole lot of like solid science out there on it. Like, if you know, I went to school for exercise science. Now, when I read textbooks back in the day, it was all like, you need to do like 3 to 5 sets of 5 to 12 reps to like, in order to gain strength and muscle. And like, and CrossFit is kind of turning that on its head a little bit. Like, this stuff, it works, and it works for a reason. And that reason is, like, you're hitting different muscles, like you said, core, you're strengthening, maybe your hamstrings are weak and you're hitting those one day on a deadlift, and that's going to translate to this back squat. And there's a reason that, you know, we program these lifts pretty sporadically, and seemingly it's not random, as you know. we have a program that we follow, but you know, maybe you didn't see a back squat for 3 or 4 weeks in a class, and then suddenly you do and you PR'd it. And you're like, how did I do that? I haven't done it in like 4 weeks.
Well, I think that's a great thing that you just said, because how many times, Mike, before we kind of narrowed this down more, and we put in that rotation of our key things that we want to see, where it was like, we haven't overhead squatted in 2 years. And I got a PR, like exactly what you just said. And it's because the rest of it works, right? You don't need to be doing this specific thing over and over and over again to get better at it. There are so many other things that you can do, auxiliary like work and just general stuff that help. And I think everybody has fallen into that category, like you just said, of like, you haven't seen it for a long time, and then you do it and you're like, holy crap, like, why did it get better at that? And it's just because of what we're doing. And like you said, the transference of one thing to another is huge, huge.
Yeah, maybe let's circle that back to, so the original question was kind of like, why should I do some of these movements if I just want to look good naked? So like, talking about that, we're just kind of touching on it now. You know, even if you never think that you're going to be upside down in a handstand push-up in real life.
Naked. I hope not.
the pressing over your head, it's obviously the key there, right? Being able to press over your head and that translating to the functionality that you need to do in your real life. Is the kind of the key element in that specific example. But all these things that we're talking about today, you know, there's a lot of transferability between all the things that we do in CrossFit, and that's why we do it, right?
I was going to say, I think the other thing that people just need to recognize too is like, you know, we know this from being in the industry for so long, it's like adding muscle mass. When you do that, what happens? You look better naked, right? Like, there isn't a magic thing that any one particular thing anybody does, like, you know, whether it is a strength training program or if it's an all running program or whatever, if you are building muscle in a specific way and you're metabolizing fat and losing, like having fat loss and gaining muscle mass, you're going to look better. It doesn't need to be this specific thing. Like, you know, powerlifting didn't like fall out or like be like, well, we have the best thing to look better naked, right? Like, we're going to have the biggest muscle growth out of anybody. No, it's just different, right? And it's important. That's another thing that I want people to understand is like, what we are doing, and you know, working in all of the different facets that we do of gymnastics and overhead pressing and squatting below parallel and monostructural cardio and all those things, that's all helping you look better naked, right? Like it's helping weight loss and muscle gain and all of those things, because you're adapting, you know, a healthier exercise program. It doesn't need to be any one particular thing. Like nobody's cornered the market on it. Everybody's doing the same thing. It's just done in different ways. So as long as you're doing all of the other things, you know, like your diet's in check and like all of those things, and you're still exercising, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 or whatever, however many days a week, and you have these healthier things, you're going to look better naked, right? Like that's,
yeah,
it's just science, Mike, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think, you know, yeah, like you said, nutrition, make sure that's on point for this specific goal. Like you got to lose, you know, body fat and gain muscle.
Yeah.
You know, we keep kind of coming back to this gain muscle point in every episode. I feel like, I think it's just a big piece of what we're trying to do here.
Well, and again, we've hit on it a little bit before too, is like understanding too that muscle gain isn't becoming Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, right? Yeah. It's just gaining some more muscle mass. You're not going to put on 50 pounds of muscle overnight or at any given point.
Yeah.
It's just, again, building a little bit more, right? So nobody's getting bulky, or nobody's, you know, all of a sudden gaining super wide shoulders.
Oh, Sean, if I have another new person walk in and say that they don't want to be bulky, it kills me every time.
Yeah.
It takes years and a devotion to, you know, these movements and progressing them load wise and volume wise in order to build muscle. And I think maybe we should just touch on that a little bit. I mean, it takes intentional effort. It doesn't just happen. And like kind of circling back to my exercise science background, it doesn't need to be a perfect program of like 4 sets of 12 of like these particular movements. Like you were saying, there's no exact kind of science on this. It just like, you're progressively overloading what your muscles are capable of at the time.
Yeah.
And that will produce an adaptation. It's really that simple. And it could be a handstand pushup, or it could be a dumbbell press overhead. Like your body doesn't really know the difference, right? If it's if it's exceeding your capacity, or you know, if you're pushing yourself appropriately, you're gonna have an adaptation from that.
Right. You know, when we even go into it, it's like when you get sore, that's what is happening. It's like little micro tears in your muscles to build new, bigger, stronger muscle fibers and everything. It's all the same thing. But if you get rhabdo, that's not good. Right? Like that's too far.
Oh, my abs are so sore from toes to rings. Speaking of that, and it's so underrated of a movement, I think.
That's why I'm picking it, Mike. My open workout this week, maybe.
Coming up. Let's see. Yeah, I think let's like kind of sum it up a little bit. So like, you know, the question was, why, what's the point of some of these things? You know, the point of these movements is to have transferability to real life. And hopefully as you're someone who wants to be functional, right, in real life, and you want to live a better quality of life, right? So everything that we do in CrossFit kind of relates back to that. And if that fits into your goals in your life, then that's going to work for you. Now, if you have a specific goal, like, you know, we talked about a 30-mile run that I did, or a 300-pound back squat or whatever, you know, maybe you do shift some of the things that you do, but keep in mind that everything that you do in CrossFit, all these movements have these transferability, and that you can still get stronger and better at the thing that you're trying to do without totally changing everything, again, depending on where you're starting at.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead, you could add to that.
Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, this came up in that conversation that we had earlier in the week with this person. It was like, if we look at, it's like the 10 general physical skills of CrossFit and like what they want. It's like cardiovascular, respiratory endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, coordination,
speed.
Yeah, agility, balance, and accuracy, right?
Reaction time.
Yeah. And the reason that they put those out is because those are all tangible things for your everyday life, right? But again, if you hyper focus on one thing, so let's go with power, right? And you're like, when am I ever going to need to be powerful? More than you think, right? Then you start looking at other things that maybe, like we said it way back in the beginning of this podcast, of like coordination, or like somebody going, why do I need to learn double unders? Like, what is the, what is the transference of that? It is coordination to the max, right? And your agility. Like, there is coordination and timing are the one thing that you are learning with double unders, right? Yeah. Your cardiovascular endurance a little bit, but
and if you're like, what am I going to use coordination for? Come visit our vitality class.
Yeah.
You could see clearly that, you know, being able to be coordinated and have balance and proprioception of your surrounding is super important as you get older.
Right. And if like with coordination specifically, if you've ever tried to catch a ball or throw a ball and you can't do it, right? That's an extreme example. And you feel silly because you're uncoordinated, right? That could be something that, you know, should be a goal for you. It's like, maybe I want to become more coordinated. Or like you said, balance. Like, for, again, as we start to age, balance starts to get a little bit harder for people and it becomes even more important. Right. Like, there's,
if you want to get better at coordination, you could hire somebody like me to throw a ball at you and shout the word athlete like I do to Katie, who did not have much coordination, but now has developed it due to my rigorous program that I put her on. Every time she wants her phone or keys, I'm like, athlete. And I just chuck it at her.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think the one piece is, oh, I saw a door open.
She's giving me a look.
I think the one piece, like, to always remember is, like, you know, they have those 10 general physical skills laid out, because those are all things that you should, you know, have in your life. Flexibility, coordination, balance, accuracy, right? Power, all of those things. And at any given point, like, you never want to be lacking in one of those things, because it is detrimental in one way, maybe more than you think. But it's a good reminder to come back to all the time of, like, again, why we do some of the stuff that we do. It's like, we want you to be well-rounded, right? In everything. I want you to be able to throw a wall ball up a wall and it not hit you in the face every single time, because you have the coordination to do it and the accuracy to throw it at a certain point or whatever it is. You know, I want you to have a balance, like, to be balanced and be able to be up on a set of bar or rings for a dip, like, right. And have that balance that way, strength and stamina and all that comes, you know, with it.
Get your hands over your head or press something over your head to be able to squat below parallel, all these things.
Right. And, you know, there is so much that goes into it in the real world that goes unseen, I think. And I think it is, we've said it a few times, it's a lack of understanding for the most part. We are the man behind the curtain, you know, so we know why we're doing things. That's why I really love this question. It was being able to express to this person of, like, why, right? Like, I love when people ask questions. I truly do, because very, very rarely do we get to answer the whys, unless somebody asks, right? Yeah. And otherwise it's just us up there just talking to everybody, yeah. Nobody listening. Right. But,
And there is a reason, you know, behind why we're doing this. And that's why I'm glad we're talking about this today. Because, like, I think you said in a previous podcast too, I think people really want to know the whys.
Yeah. And that,
I like that. Like, I'm excited about that. I want to be able to show people that why we're doing it. And it's intentional.
Yeah. Like, the 6 p.m. class, like Taurus, he asked questions about everything, and he wants to know whys of everything. And he always says sorry for asking all the questions. I'm like, no, please ask those questions. Like, it's important for you to understand, because I think it's kind of wrapping up like what we're talking about is like if you can gain a greater understanding of these things, and the importance of said things, you're going to have a much better time and a much higher ceiling because of it, because then you can adapt your training based on those things and maybe shift your goals around a little bit and make them more realistic or whatever. But with understanding comes, you know, success. When you can understand something, you'll be so much more successful at that thing.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I like that. Yeah, any other closing remarks that you have here? I think I said everything I wanted to say.
Yeah, I just hope that in some weird way we answered the question.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if she thinks that we answered it appropriately. But I think, yeah. I think.
Thanks, Megan.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody else has any other questions, like, please, we want more questions to answer.
Well, and now that we're doing this podcast too, is like, we always, you know, we wrap it up by always saying, if you have any other topics you want us to talk about, it doesn't have to be like, what's the best fit? Like, it can just be a question like this, like of a why, and it can spur such a deep conversation that everybody will gain from. So don't ever feel weird. Yeah. If you want us to talk about something, especially on this, where you can just go back to it and have that reaffirmation of the information, do it.
Yeah. All right. Go Birds.
That's right. Go Birds, Mike.